This tape is produced and distributed by the Christian Biblical Church of God, Post Office Box 1442, Hollister, California, 95024-1442, for the Canadian office and offices overseas. Listen at the end of the tape, please. This is Refuting Sunday Keeping number 5. And, of course, it's very vital that we understand the Word of God, we understand what it's saying, and as we come in this series, we've come to Acts 15. And what I want to do, I want to cover several aspects here which are very important for us to grasp, and that we need to understand this, that what is being said here, what is being written, is not being written from the perspective of a Protestant type of understanding, but it is true Christianity versus Judaism. And one of the mistakes that most people make is that Judaism equals the law of Moses. Because Judaism says the law of Moses encompasses everything that they did with all of their traditions, as we covered last time. So let's go back to Acts 15 and let's read it and let's see exactly what it says, and then we will ask some very profound questions. Let's begin in verse 1. And certain men came down from Judea and taught the brethren, saying, except you be circumcised after the manner of Moses, you cannot be saved. Now the Greek means it's impossible for one to receive salvation unless there is the physical circumcision. When therefore Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and disputation with them, they determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain of the other of them should go up to Jerusalem unto the apostles and the elders about this question. And being brought on their way by the church, they passed through Phoenicia and Samaria, declaring the conversion of the Gentiles, and they caused great joy among all unto all the brethren. And when they were come to Jerusalem, they were received of the church and of the apostles, and they declared all the things that God had done with them. But there rose up certain of the sect of the Pharisees which believed. Now, we need to understand, which we will tonight, what it is that the Pharisees taught. And we need to understand that their interpretation of the law of Moses, as we will see, is that it includes all the oral traditions as well as the written word of Moses. So when they come and they say this, that it is needful to circumcise them and command them to keep the law of Moses. Now we will see the correct understanding of this and the correct interpretation of this based upon the facts which were taking place at that time. And the apostles and elders came together for to consider the matter, and when there had been much disputing, Peter rose up and said unto them, men and brethren, you know how that a good while ago God made choice among us that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. Now we'll go back to Acts 10 and we will cover that section right there. And God, who knows the heart, so the heart knowing God as it is in the Greek, bear them witness, giving them the Holy Spirit, even as he did unto us. And put no difference between them and us, purifying their hearts by faith. Now therefore, why tempt you God to put a yoke on the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear? Now, we need to understand what this means. Most Protestants and Catholics assume that God's laws and commandments are a burden, that God's laws and commandments are a bondage. And so, therefore, they reject out of hand everything that's contained in the law of Moses without even reading it, without even trying to understand it. Now, if that's what you have done, then you've made a grave error. Now, let's go back to the book of Deuteronomy, and let's understand something concerning the commandments and the laws of God, that we can understand that these were given to them for their good always. They were never a yoke of bondage. Now, let's pick it up here in Deuteronomy 4 and verse 1. Now therefore, hearken, O Israel, unto the statutes and unto the judgments which I teach you for to do them, that you may live. Most people assume that God gave these laws to the Jews as punishment, that they may die. And of course, the Jews claim that all of Israel is now them, because they say that the 10 tribes who were carried off into captivity before the Jews were, that the 10 tribes were absorbed into the Gentiles and they no longer exist. Such is not the case. The 10 tribes, God said in Amos 9, would be filtered through many nations, but God would not lose one seed. And I don't have the time to go into it here. But the blessing that came upon Abraham that he promised to give to the seed through Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and the 12 sons of Jacob, as well as Ephraim and Manasseh, the two sons of Joseph, all of them consist of the children of Israel. So the Jews, in speaking these things, are not honest with you with the scripture, claiming that it all belongs to them, and that whatever Moses said is Judaism. That is not correct. Judaism is not the law of Moses. Judaism, as we will see, is something entirely different. So God gave these laws that they may live as a blessing, and go on and possess the land which the Lord your God, God of your fathers, gives you. You shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall you diminish aught from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God which I command you. Now he did this and gave it to them for their good always. Now, let's come over here, continuing in chapter 4. And let's pick it up here in verse 34. Or has God essayed to go and take a nation from amidst of another nation by temptations, by signs, by wonders, by war, by a mighty hand, and by a stretched out arm, and by great terrors, according to all that the Lord your God did for you in Egypt before your eyes? Unto you it was shown, that you might know that the Lord, he is God, and there is none else besides him. Out of heaven he made you to hear his voice, that he might instruct you. And upon the earth he showed you his great fire, and you heard his words out of the midst of the fire. And because, now listen carefully, he loved the fathers. What God did with Israel was based upon love. It was not based upon hatred. It was not based upon a burden. It was not based upon giving people something that they could not bear. We need to understand that. Because when you accuse God of that, in the carnal reasoning that so many people do, they are going against God and accusing God of evil. And that's precisely what Protestants do and Catholics do and Orthodox do in their doctrines. And we need to understand that. Now notice, and because he loved your fathers, Therefore he chose her seed after them, and brought you out in his sight with his mighty power out of Egypt, to drive out the nations from before you, greater and mightier than you are, to bring you in and to give you their land for an inheritance as it is this day. Know and consider this day in your heart, that the Lord, he is God in heaven above, and upon the earth beneath there is none else. You shall therefore keep his statutes and his commandments, which I command you this day, that it may be well with you. This is not a yoke of bondage. Is there a yoke of bondage in having no other gods before you? It is a yoke of bondage that you make no graven images and don't bow down and worship them. Is it a bondage that you don't take the name of the Lord your God in vain? Is it a bondage that you remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy because God is creator? Is it a bondage to honor your father and mother? Is it a bondage to not commit murder? Is it a bondage to not commit adultery? Is it a bondage to not steal? Is it a bondage to not bear false witness? Is it a bondage to not covet? Show me. Which one is a bondage? It's only a bondage to sinners, because sinners won't obey. Now, if you're trying to follow God, and if you're trying to receive salvation through Jesus Christ, know and understand, you cannot accuse God of evil. Your salvation is null and void. You have none, regardless of how you may feel, regardless of what you profess. And as we have seen, all of those who profess Lord, Lord, and do not do the will of the Father in heaven above are going to be cast in the lake of fire. Now, it's not God's will to cast away the Sabbath. It is not God's will to cast away the holy days. It is not God's will to cast away his commandments, which he gave for their own good, that it might go well with you and with your children, and that you may prolong your days upon the earth, which the Lord your God gives you. Amazing, isn't it? Isn't it amazing? Yes. Now let's come here to chapter 5 and verse 29. Now, this is after giving the Ten Commandments. And one great mistake that all religions make concerning what is called the covenant with Israel is this. God did not give the Holy Spirit in general to the people of Israel. None of the 12 tribes received the Spirit of God. That was not given in general until the day of Pentecost, as we have already seen. Only certain of the prophets and the kings received the Holy Spirit of God. No one else did. So what was done under the old covenant was not a matter of salvation. These people were not working for salvation by works, because no salvation to anyone, anywhere, at any time, in any covenant, in any dispensation, ever came by works. You need to understand that. That's the whole story, beginning with Abel and Noah and Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. Now, if you don't have our series on the book of Romans, you write for, because we go in depth, verse by verse by verse, looking at everything and understanding it, and you cannot understand the works of law question and justification by faith unless you have that series and unless you know it. And there's, as you will see when you get the series, there are certain key mistranslations in the King James Version of the Bible which led to the misunderstanding concerning works of law and the commandments of God. The summary of the book of Romans is this: through grace, we do not establish lawlessness, we establish law. And you need to understand that. Now let's read on here and finish. Okay. And the Lord heard the voice of your words when you spoke unto me, and the Lord said to me, I have heard the voice of the words of this people which have spoken unto you. They have well said all that they have spoken. And they said, oh, don't let us hear the voice of God anymore. Moses, we'll hear you. And so he said, they spoke well in what they said, because they're carnal. They didn't have the Spirit of God. They didn't want to listen to the Word of God. Now, is that the same way with you? When you hear the commandments of God read, do you have the same reaction as the children of Israel? Do you bristle and get all angry and all in a torque? And you uphold your self-righteous Sunday keeping as some great righteous thing? Let me tell you very clearly. Since God tells us to keep his commandments, we'll see this again and again, which we already have. If you reject those commandments, if you reject the Sabbath and you keep Sunday, you are trying to receive salvation by the works of Sunday keeping. And the very thing that you accuse Sabbath keepers of doing, Sunday keepers are doing. Sabbath keepers do not look to the Sabbath for justification by works to receive salvation. We believe in salvation by faith through the grace of God, but we also believe that we are to keep the commandments of God for our own good. Now, we'll again review a few texts in the New Testament to verify that. Now, notice. He says, verse 29, oh, that there were such a heart in them. See, because God never gave the Holy Spirit. They were carnal-minded, hard-hearted, stiff-necked, and rebellious from the day that God brought them out of the land of Egypt. But because the promise that he gave to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, that he would deal with the seed of Abraham, he did. Not because of the righteousness of the children of Israel, but because God is true. And God gave the promise to Abraham, and God cannot lie. And so the children of Israel, being carnal, they never received the Holy Spirit, because you see, the Holy Spirit, as we will see, is to bring you the circumcision of the heart, to change your nature. So that you love God, that you love his commandments, you love his laws, you love his statutes and judgments. You love God's way, and you love God. They didn't have that heart. Now notice, oh, that there were such a heart in them that they would fear me, and that they would keep my commandments always, that it might be well with them and with their children forever. Now, does that sound like a yoke of bondage? We have to understand what the yoke of bondage is. We will here in just a little bit. Let's finish some other scriptures here. Okay, verse 32, Deuteronomy 5. You shall observe to do therefore as the Lord your God has commanded you. You shall not turn aside to the right hand or to the left. You shall walk in all the ways which the Lord your God has commanded you, that you may live. Now there it is again. God is a God of life. God is a God of law-giving, because he is law-giver. And that it may be well with you, not only that you may live, but it may be well with you, and that you may prolong your days in the land when you go to possess it. Now, chapter 6 and verse 1. Let's read on. This is Old Testament, correct? But what I'm reading to you is really New Testament doctrine. Because when you come to understand it, aside from the animal sacrifices and the temple ritual, which have been superseded by the high priesthood of Christ, the temple in heaven above, and the circumcision of the flesh has been superseded by the circumcision of the heart. So rather than doing away with those things, God made them spiritual. God made them more binding. God made them as such that we are obligated to do so with the power of His Holy Spirit. No man, as Paul said, can say by the Spirit of God that Christ is anathema, which is what you're doing when you say that all these commandments have been done away. The covenant has been changed, but not the commandments. Commandments have not been done away. Yes, the commandments have been changed. I'll back up on that and say, yes, they have been changed to a higher standard. Because now with the Holy Spirit of God, you are to have the heart to love God, to love Christ, to love His commandments, to want to keep them, because you know they're not a burden. Now, Deuteronomy 6 and verse 1. These are the commandments and statutes and judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that you might do them in the land where you go to possess it, that you might fear the Lord your God and keep all His statutes and His commandments, which I command you, you and your son and your son's sons, all the days of your life, that you may prolong your days may be prolonged. Now you show me where there's a bondage in that. You tell me where there's a bondage in that. I'll show you what the real bondage is here in just a little bit. Hear therefore, Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with you. Again, how many times have we seen that it be well with you, that you live? Is it a yoke of bondage to have things go well with you? Is it a yoke of bondage that you may live and prolong your days? I say no. The yoke of bondage comes from something else. Now let's continue here. We'll finish this. Verse 3. Hear therefore, O Israel, to observe to do it, that it may be well with you. There we go again. And that you may increase mightily, as the Lord God of your fathers has promised you in the land that flows with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. Jesus quoted that. That's New Testament doctrine, and that's the whole goal of the new covenant. God gave it to them here in a carnal way, and carnally speaking, they could keep it in the letter of the law if they would apply themselves and do it rightly, but they didn't do it. Now, let's come to the New Testament. Let's come to 1 John, the 5th chapter. And let's answer the question again. Now, we may have to come back here again because some people are just as hard-hearted and as stubborn and rebellious and resolute in their way against the Sabbath and the commandments of God that they will not listen. They have been so fully indoctrinated in false doctrine for so long and have heard it so many Sundays, going to Sunday, that they just cannot get it through their head. The Sabbath never was a burden, and it is not a burden. None of the commandments of God are a burden. No. 1 John 5 and 2, verse 2. By this we know, now you have to know, that we love the children of God when we love God and keep His commandments. Now, how much different does that sound from what Moses wrote? I tell you, nay, not much different at all. It's identical, correct, from what we just read in Deuteronomy 6. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous or burdensome. So what we're talking about here in Acts 15 cannot be the commandments of God. Here, let's just finish by going to John 14. Now, some of these scriptures you have to go over and over and over and over that you really get the point. Now, John 14, let's pick it up here in verse 15. And this is what Jesus said. If you love me, do you love Jesus Christ? Do you? Keep my commandments. Now, you also need to understand something very profound and important, which is this. The one who became Jesus Christ was the one who was the Lord God of the Old Testament, who gave the Ten Commandments and judgments and statutes and all that to the children of Israel. So when he says, if you love me, keep my commandments, let's put it around the other way. If you don't keep his commandments, you don't love him, do you? And as a matter of fact, in 1 John 2 and verse 3, it says, he that says, I know him and keeps not his commandments is a liar. If you are a Sunday keeper, you live a lie, you believe a lie. If you preach Sunday, you are a liar. You don't know God, and the truth is not in you, because the truth of God is the commandments of God, the statutes of God, and all of that. Now, we're talking serious business here. You want eternal life? You do it God's way. You don't do it your way. You want to receive the Spirit of God? He only gives it to those who obey him. Are you obeying him? Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. And nowhere, nowhere did he abrogate the Sabbath. And we saw that, yes, there is in the New Testament a direct commandment which says, therefore, there remains Sabbath keeping for the people of God. That's way after the resurrection. That's way after the full establishment of the new covenant. And people of God, as we saw, refers to the children of Israel as well as the Gentiles. Now let's come down here and read another verse. Verse 23. I want you to think about this. Now, if I've sort of goaded you on Sunday keeping, and you're a Sunday keeper and a staunch Sunday keeper, you need to just back down and think. You need to ask yourself the question, do I or any man have the right to abrogate the commandments of God? The answer is no. If you do, you sit in the seat of God and you judge God and you judge his laws and you judge his commandments and you judge yourself unworthy of salvation, because no one is going to receive salvation or enter into the kingdom of God unless they keep the commandments of God. And furthermore, you testify to yourself by your own words that you do not truly love God. Now let's read it. Verse 23, Jesus answered and said to him, if a man love me, he will keep my words. Now we're not just down to a set of commandments, but we are down to the words of Christ. And my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loves me not keeps not my sayings. Do you understand that? What was one of the sayings that we first went through in one of the very first things on the Holy Sabbath series? By the way, if you don't have the Holy Sabbath series, you write for it. We have 8 tapes going through the Holy Sabbath. Now, read this again. He that loves me not keeps not my sayings. If you don't keep the saying of Jesus Christ where he said, the Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath. Therefore, the Son of Man, Jesus Christ, is the Lord also of the Sabbath day. Mark 2:27-28. Sunday is not the Lord's day. Sabbath is the Lord's day. Now we'll get in how they started keeping Sunday a little bit later. But here we need to lay the groundwork so you really know and understand it. Now here's what's more important, you see. And the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. So you think you love God by keeping Sunday? No. You think you love the Father by keeping Sunday? No. You don't keep their sayings. You don't keep their words. You don't love them. Now, you may have a carnal, fuzzy feeling in your heart. But people can feel the same way about their sports team. People can feel the same way about winning the lotto. Now, if that sort of goads you, it's intended to. Because you're sitting on a premise that is not true. Okay? The commandments of God are not a burden. Now, let's just review one little section here in Mark 7. Let's come to Mark 7. We covered that very thoroughly last time, and I promised you that I would read from the Code of Jewish Law. And I'm here to tell you very clearly, if you've never heard of this book, if you've never read this book, if you do not understand Judaism, you do not understand the New Testament, and it's impossible for you to understand Romans and Galatians and Hebrews and all the difficult scriptures which this man in this book, Russell K. Tardo, attempts to do, and he is completely ignorant of the facts of the Bible. He's ignorant of the facts of history. He does not know Judaism, and it's important that you understand about Judaism and what they did. And I'm going to give you some examples out of this book, which contains thousands and thousands and thousands of laws. This, as we will see, was the burden, not the commandments of God. No. Let's pick it up here in verse 5. Then the Pharisees and the scribes asked him, "Why don't your disciples walk according to the tradition of the elders, but eat bread with unwashed hands?" Oh, that's such a great sin, isn't it? And he answered and said unto them, "Well, as Isaiah prophesied of you hypocrites, as it is written, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Howbeit in vain do you worship me, teaching for doctrine the commandments of men.'" Understand, Sunday keeping is a commandment of man, and if you try to worship God on Sunday, you are worshiping God in vain, no doubt about it. You have a counterfeit Christ, you have a counterfeit day, you have a counterfeit salvation which leads to the lake of fire. Now those are strong words. They're intended to be. Because Sabbath keepers need to just back up and say, we are tired of Sunday keepers projecting their lies upon us and telling lies about Sabbath keepers, telling lies about God, telling lies about Christ, thinking that you can be saved in your sins when Christ came to save you from your sins. We need to understand that. Christ offended a lot of people here. Now, if people are offended at truth, then be offended. The gospel of Christ with the word of God is like a sharp two-edged sword. And it cuts to dividing of sunder of the heart and the mind and discerner of the thoughts and spirit. And be offended, because you're offended at God. Christ did not come to play politics. Christ did not come to please people. Christ came to reveal the Father, to call his apostles, to be the sacrifice for all mankind, to bring salvation to his church, to raise up his church and raise up his people who would be commandment keepers. Now, let's continue here. Verse 7, howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. For laying aside the commandments of God, you hold the tradition of men as the washing of pots and cups and many other such like things you do. Verse 9, and he said to them, full well, you reject the commandment of God that you may keep your own tradition. Now, I'm going to read to you from the Code of Jewish Law. Some of these things I will summarize. Some of them I will read particular ones, so that you may understand that this is the bondage, that these are the laws and traditions which the Jews added to bury the Word of God, to put a fence around it so no one can find it, and to make it an absolute burden upon everyone. Now, this is Orthodox Judaism. Orthodox Judaism is the successor of the Pharisees, and they rightly and proudly say so. Now, if you want to know where to get the book, I'll give this to you. You can get it at the Hebrew Publishing Company, and I'll give you the phone number. It's in Rockaway Beach, New York. Here's the phone number. Area code 718-945-3000. And I suggest if you're really serious in understanding this, order it. Because I would have to spend 10 tapes or more just reading from this. And you will see in just the few things that I am going to read, how they twist the scriptures, how they have their own interpretation on it, which is not the correct interpretation from God. Let's start out right here, volume 1, chapter 1. First of all, let me just read a summary of the sections here, just so you get an idea of this. And when I read them, I want you to think about where in the Old Testament are these laws? And I'll give you the answer before I start. Nowhere. Because these are the oral traditions which now have been written down. There are four volumes within this book. Volume 1, rules of conduct upon rising in the morning, hand washing in the morning, on dressing and deportment, rules of decency, cleanliness of places used for holy purposes, laws relating to benedictions, the morning benediction, what may not be done from dawn until praying time, then the fringes, the phylacteries, and purity of the body, places for holding services, sanctity of the synagogue and the house of study, the special verses of Psalms, the Kaddish, the Baryu, the Minyan, and the Heza, the Shema and its benedictions, laws concerning reading the Shema. I mean, you just can't pick up the Bible and read the Shema, which we just read in Deuteronomy, the 6th chapter, about loving the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and being. No, you can only read it at a certain set time. Silent prayers, laws concerning Mashiv Harah and Tal Umatar, and then several of these others. I won't try and pronounce all of these Hebrew words here. The making up of omitted prayer. See, if you didn't get your prayer, you got to make it up. Reading of the Torah. Laws concerning errors and defects in Sofer Torah. Rules concerning Asher. The mourner's Kaddish. The study of the Torah. The scroll and other holy books. Moral laws. Tale-bearing, slander, vengeance, bearing of grudges. All of man's intentions must be for the sake of heaven. Rules concerning physical well-being, things forbidden because they are dangerous. Laws concerning charity, separation of the first portion of the dough, salting of the meat, the immersion of vessels, laws concerning bread, cooked food, and milk of non-Jews, eating and drinking before regular meals, washing of hands before meals, breaking of bread and hamatzah, laws concerning meals, benediction over special courses during meals, laws concerning washing of hands and saying of grace after meals, formal grace of three or more, forbidden foods, non-Jewish wine, making vessels fit for use. Now that's just volume one. Volume two, let me read a little bit of these. Benedictions over five species of grain, benediction over wine, benedictions said before enjoying food or drink, concluding benediction, benedictions over soup, fruit, vegetable extracts, principal and accessory foods, order of procedure relating to benedictions, benedictions pronounced erroneously, benedictions over food served more than originally intended, benedictions over fragrance, benedictions over joy and grief, benedictions over sights and nature, benedictions, and then there's a Hebrew word concerning that, concerning commerce, wronging by means of words, dealing in forbidden objects, interest on loans, agreements to make to trade in business, vows and oaths, prayers when traveling, and then the afternoon service, the evening service, order of the night, holiness of the Sabbath, work done by a non-Jew on the Sabbath, embarking on embarking on a vessel, or that is a ship or boat on the Sabbath, Sabbath candles, prayers on the Sabbath and festivals, the Kaddish and Sabbath meals, Torah reading on the Sabbath and festivals, laws concerning Maftir, some labors forbidden on the Sabbath, the four premises with regard to Sabbath laws, prohibition against moving, removing thing from one domain into another, enclosure of spaces, carrying garments and ornaments on the Sabbath, if a fire breaks out on the Sabbath, bathing on the Sabbath, resting of cattle on the Sabbath, forbidden things to be handled on the Sabbath, concerning a base for forbidden things, doing things that are not actual, work by a non-Jew, one in pain, one not critically ill, one who's critically ill, forced to transgress a precept, concerning childbirth, inner community courts, inner community boundaries, and so forth, laws concerning Rosh Hashanah and so forth. Now, I won't read any in Volume 3, but it just goes on and on. Many of these contain to the Jewish version of keeping the holy days. And then they have their own laws interpreting the law of Moses. God intended the law of Moses, as Moses wrote it, to be read and interpreted and understood, according to the way that the plain, simple fact of it. Now, we'll go ahead and take a little break here, and then I'll read some of these laws for you so you understand what we're talking about.